Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Nats Town. Welcome to another hastily prepared edition of Nats Nightly, sponsored by the district sports page and federalbaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Federal Baseball's doghouse on the line after the Nationals' 4-1 win in the nation's capital today. They take 2-3 from the Phillies on the weekend, improved to 26-18 on the year, and doghouse will start with the man on the mound, Gio Gonzalez, 15 hits, 4 walks, 11 earned runs, and 10 innings pitched. Last two starts, 341, 396, 500 line against in those outings, 4.94 ERA, 3.13 FIP, and 8 starts, 47 and a third innings pitched this season, 4 Ks, 3 groundouts, and 3 scoreless, but fell apart in the fourth last time out, wondering if he was going to do it again today. Infield single, walk, Frenchie for Jeff Francoeur with a single to left, 1-0 after 3.5. He gets his 7th K and his first at-bat of the 7th, goes all that 6 and a third innings, 1 run allowed on 7 hits. Nice bounce-back start from Gio, ends up throwing 94 pitches overall, and aside from that little spell in the 4th inning there, pretty much a solid outing from Gio Gonzalez.
No, this is what I would certainly like to think of as a classic Gio outing. He established his fastball and his change early. He was getting a lot of nice swing and miss on his curveball. He even threw it for strikes at least once or twice, I think, and had a really nice outing. A lot of ground balls. A few things got up in the air on him, but for the most part, kept stuff on the ground. Very strong, very consistent. Even in the fourth, when he had a little bit of adversity there, and Clint Robinson apparently trying to start a juggling act out there in left field, he managed to not let things get out of hand. One run came in, but that was all. And he I think, stranded runners second, third at the end of that inning. And really a solid outing. He did take advantage a little bit of a low strike zone. I pulled up the Pitch FX after the game because someone must have just explained pitch framing to FP because he will not shut up about it. But, yeah, the zone was a little low today, but it was – yeah, you know, Gio took advantage of it, and I can't fault him for doing that. You know, I believe there should be robot umpires, but until there are, you know, pitch to your strengths, and if one of your strengths is taking advantage of what umps will give you, you do it.
Hold on a second here while I cross my little section about FP and pitch framing off of my list.
Oh, sorry,
Aaron. Aaron Harang on the mound for the Phillies today. 6 starts since he beat the Nats in April. A 1.76 ERA, 2.16, 2.61, 3.11 line against in over that stretch. First Philly starter since Roy Halladay, and just a third in the last 20 years, I think it was, the Philly said, with a sub-2 ERA after 9 starts of the season. Clint Robinson, double to start the fourth inning, scores when Jose Lobaton swinging 3-0 on a fastball, drives it through the right side of the infield, 1-1 at that point. Yunel Escobar triple scores on a Harper ground out in the fifth, 2-1 at that point. That's all the Nationals got off of him. That's all they needed and what ended up a 4-1 win. But Harang's given the Nationals trouble in the past. Didn't get a whole lot off him today, but 7 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks was enough.
Yeah, I think you could rightly say that Harang gave the Nats trouble today. And he put up a quality start just like O'Sullivan did 2 days ago. And this is, you know, the Phillies are not a good team. They're just not, but they've got some pieces. Certainly we talked yesterday, Hamels is a good pitcher. Harang somehow has managed to reinvent himself as Jamie Moyer plus 2 or 3 miles an hour. And, you know, good for him, but luckily Gio was just better today, and especially the Nats bullpen was just better today, and I'm sure you've probably got something called matchups coming a little later in the podcast, so I won't get ahead on that.
Yeah, we do. Jose Lobaton, we'll stick with him for a minute. Has a good day, aside from all the pitch framing, which we'll just skip over. 1-for-4 at the plate. He gets a start today. RBI on that hit there, and giving your backup catcher the green light on 3-0. A little gutsy calling there by Matt Williams from the dugout, but Jose Lobaton came through once again. When he gets in there, he seems to produce for the Nationals and drove in an important run there.
Yeah, green light, and it got a hard ground ball up the middle. You know, we're used to seeing swing for the fences, but stay within yourself and don't do too much, as the perennial post-game cliche goes. And that seems to be exactly what Lobaton did. He came through for the Nats like he seems to find a way to come through with the plate every start he gets. So this is exactly the sort of backup catcher you want to see, one who looks exactly like a starting catcher, except he doesn't play as much. And I actually, FP did get me to look up some data on pitch framing. Both Ramos and Lobaton are slightly above average in terms of their pitch framing. Lobaton slightly better than Ramos, but they're you know, like maybe in the top half, but not the top third of catchers in terms of their ability to steal strikes.
Yeah, I was wondering if Lobaton was going to have enough innings to qualify for those kind of leaderboards and how he ranked against the rest of the league. So that's definitely interesting considering how much they were talking about it today. Go back to Yunel Escobar, though. Really good awareness on his triple in the fifth inning to start the frame. Drives one out to the right center out-of-town scoreboard there. Adubel Herrera has a little bit of trouble with it. He notices that coming around second, takes the extra base. Looked like he was a little winded there coming in, but you got to also love the exuberant safe call on himself when he slides in there safely, ends up scoring the run there, ended up being the winning run.
Yeah, Yunel plays with verve and panache and spirit, and I enjoy watching it. That was a nice heads-up base running there. It's interesting, Span a little later in the game hit almost the same hit. It just didn't hang up quite as much when it hit the wall, didn't rattle around as much. And I think Herrera was on it a little bit faster, having, well, not quite dogged it, but maybe not quite played as aggressively on Escobar's hit there. So Span decided to pull up and hold it to a double instead of trying to stretch it. And there's probably a decent chance he gets thrown out if he goes for it. But the perfect way to start an inning off. I mean, how could even the Nats fail to score someone from third with no outs?
That never happened, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Odubel Herrera with a one-out single in the seventh to knock Gio Gonzalez out. Aaron Barrett comes on to face the catcher, Cameron Rupp. Sends a bloop single to right. Harper's charging in. Odubel Herrera has to wait for a second to see if Harper's going to make the catch or not. Second too long, apparently. Bryce Harper charges in on it, catches the ball on a bounce, picks it up, throws a strike to second base for a 9-6 outfield assist. This is worthy of a wow on Harper there. Just really good awareness on his part. And, of course, the arm allows him to get that out.
Yeah, that was a good enough play that I actually didn't understand what was going on at first. because I saw the ball come in and thought, wait, Desmond didn't get the tag on him. How was he out? Oh, wait, that was a force play. yes, let's apply a wow to that one because the hustle to get in on that ball quickly enough to make Herrera stop because it looked like he had a chance and to then make that play so smoothly, get it on the hop, make the transfer, and fire a bullet, a dead strike into to Desmond there on the bag and get the out. Yes, wow.
Impressive. And then he goes, picks up the bat in the bottom of the inning. Denard Span doubles to start the frame. Ian Desmond bunts him over. Should I pause for a boo there?
Stop bunting.
Yunel Escobar ground out. Two down. Phillies bring on lefty Jake Diekman to face Harper. Lefty versus lefty matchup. Harper gets a 1-1 pitch. Sends a line drive to left field. Well, I think they're kindly calling it a line drive here in the box score, but a fly ball to the left that falls in. Denard Span scores 3-1 at that point. Apparently Ryan Sandberg liked the matchup there with the lefty versus lefty, but was too lazy to bother bringing in a right-hander to face Ryan Zimmerman, who doubles off of Diekman, 4-1 at that point when Harper scores. You go for that first matchup. What's Ryan Sandberg thinking there, not bringing in a right-hander, leaving Diekman in to face Ryan Zimmerman? I haven't looked at the head-to-head matchups. Maybe he liked those, but you have a right-hander warmed up. You bring the matchup for Harper. Why not go for another one there to complain about the other manager's decisions for a change?
Yeah, I know, because Matty's showing us how to bring the matchups and go left, right, left, put people in for an out or two outs and then move along. I didn't really understand that. You bring someone in to pitch to Harper. You can't just write off Zimmerman. Sure, he's no Harper so far this year, but he's still a reliable hitter. He gets his RBIs. He makes good hard contact. And you know, he as I remember, he went in and got that pitch inside and managed to send it the other way out to the wall. This is a man who can still swing the bat. Take him seriously, or you're going to give up runs. Unless Sandberg was just thinking, well, it's a two-run lead. This is now effectively junk time, so I'll just leave him in there to wave in the wind and finish it.
The 3-1 lead's insurmountable, apparently, so he just packed it in. I don't know. I'll have to check out the matchups between Zimmerman and Diekman. Maybe he has good numbers against them or is particularly good against righties this year. I haven't really dug into Diekman in the 5 minutes we had to set up for the show, so maybe there's some thinking behind it. But more, go back to the top of the seventh inning. You mentioned Matt Williams doing the matchups too. Gets Gio Gonzalez out of there, brings Aaron Barrett on to face Cameron Ruff. He gets out with the Harper assist. Probably should have been a single there, but lines out and into the fourth out. Harper gets a second out of the frame there. So Matt Williams goes back to the bullpen, brings on Matt Grace, knowing that they have Chase Utley and Ryan Howard still on the bench. So if you're going to get a pinch hitter, most likely going to be a lefty either way. Brings on Grace to get the out. Chase Utley called out on strikes. A nice 1-2 sinker outside from Grace. Another nice outing by him. He came back and got the first out of the eighth as well.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to note here, there was certainly been some times last season when we were complaining about the Harper strike, you know, how the left-handed batter's strike zone seems to extend a ball width or two to the outside just generally. And it seemed like Harper was getting that pitch a ball or two outside called a strike against him a lot. This season, that's not getting called a strike. He's starting to get seemingly respect from the umpires for knowing the zone and getting the zone called a little bit more fairly on him. I bring this up because strike three to Utley was about a ball or two ball widths outside, and that was the Harper strike that he got called against him. And, you know, Utley has been struggling so far this season. And, again, I'm saying, you know, robot umpires, give everyone the same zone and make it a fair zone. But I thought it was noteworthy to see how the way the umpires are treating the players has changed in seemingly quite a bit in a short amount of time here.
Nationals take 2-3 in the weekend series. Phillies now 2-8-1 in their last 11 series in the nation's capital. Only series wins in August of 2012, September of 2014, last year. They had a chance today but didn't do it. So 2-8-1 in the last seven. The Nationals win 8 straight series. This is what a good team has to do going forward. You're not going to win them all, obviously, over 162, but you just have to keep on winning series. 8 straight series for the Nationals now. Going into Chicago, a tough Chicago team that's playing well really so far this season. So good to see the Nationals kind of humming along and doing what they need to do to keep themselves at the top of the standing.
Yeah, it's the Nats won't get to play the NL East every series, so they're going to have to work hard against the tough teams here. And I shouldn't be mean, because the NL East teams, for all that most of them are not solid teams, they certainly have pieces, and they have some solid starters, and they have some good hitters and can put together a few games. And it's going to be hard to sweep them, even if they're as bad as the Marlins are right now, or as weak generally as name NL East team that's not the Nats here. But going in off a solid streak of good performance, solid starting pitching, good hitting, except for last night, decent fielding, and solid relief work, I think that's a great foundation that will give the team some confidence going into another road trip against a really interesting young team that's probably got a lot of potential, a lot of upside, and is right up there in contention right now.
Yeah, but I haven't seen a whole lot of the Cubs so far this year, so I'm definitely interested in seeing the young team that they have out there. They got Wada on the mound tomorrow against Tanner Roark, with Roark filling in for Doug Fister while he comes back from the DL. They had to make a move this morning. AJ Cole threw 65 pitches yesterday and is filling in for Strasburg, so he probably wasn't going to be available for a couple of days. Unfortunately, he pays for a good performance, gets optioned out. Taylor Jordan comes back up, work out of the bullpen in that same role, most likely. Tanner Roark gets the start tomorrow, close to his hometown in Illinois. Are you worried at all about them moving Tanner Roark back and forth here? He kind of worked out the other day. They said he threw BP to a bunch of Nationals hitters to kind of get stretched out a little bit, but they've had him in the relief role all along. Now they're moving him into a starting role. Probably don't expect 7 or 8 innings from him, but he's going to go out there as a starter tomorrow at 220 in Wrigley.
Well, we know Roark has had a little bit of experience as kind of a swing guy before. That hasn't been his role so far this season. So you've got to be a little nervous, wondering, is he going to give you, you know, a solid 5 or 6 innings, and what's the impact going to be on the rest of the bullpen picking that up going out for the rest of the series? You know, is that going to end up, are we going to get to the point where it's going to have to be sort of a tandem Roark and Jordan start? Because that makes me really nervous. Or is he going to go far enough that the solid part of the bullpen can finish the game for him? You know, a lot's going to depend on the bats picking up what is not the most solid starting pitching situation coming up for Memorial Day. But we'll keep our fingers crossed, hope the bats keep humming, and that they support Roark plus whoever else has to go out there.
2:20 p.m. tomorrow in Wrigley. Always great to watch games there. Even better during the day when that field's lit up, and just really beautiful field. Interesting to see the new bleachers out there too. I haven't gotten a good look at the park since they filled all those in and built up the stadium a little bit more. So we'll see what the Nationals can do there. 26-18 on the year. Cubs 24-18 before today. So it's going to be a good matchup and good series in Chicago coming up. So see what the Nationals can do on the road. Nats Nightly, sponsored by District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. Doghouse, thanks for joining me again, and we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon.
Go Nats.